Good morning. Today's reading is taken from Ground Control by Anna Minton, beginning at page 19. What has happened in the newly created places all around Britain has parallels with the early 19th century, before the advent of local government. Before local democracy took hold, much of the capital was owned by a small group of private landlords, members of the aristocracy who were mainly dukes and earls. The Earl of Bedford controlled Covent Garden, the Earl of Southampton had the Bloomsbury estate, and the Duke of Westminster ran the whole of northern Mayfair, Belgravia and Pimlico. According to an article written in 1856 in the Saturday Review, the growth of London was down to the simple unchecked competition of rival estates sent into the market to hustle against each other. The landlords were effectively master planners who could determine the whole social, economic and architectural character of a neighbourhood. In contrast to the contemporary drive to make the maximum profit out of places, because of their great wealth and high social position, the landlords of old were able to plan without a continual preoccupation with immediate financial returns, concentrating on the long-term future of their estates instead. What we don't see today is the degree to which these parts of London, which include some of the finest Georgian and early Victorian squares, were fortified by hundreds of gates, bars and posts. Now some of the most open and public parts of the city, great efforts used to be made by the landlords to protect those inside the gates from the outside world. The estates employed their own private security forces, and in one particularly well-guarded patch on the boundary of the Bedford estate and disreputable Camden Town, there were 5 sentry boxes. The Bedford estate used uniform ex-prison officers to patrol that enclave, and when a fight over entry into the area broke out, leading to a death, the coroner is recorded as saying that government conduct was disgraceful in allowing these squares and places to be closed to the public. These comments reflect a great general tide of a public opinion, which started to turn against the private estates with their gates, private roads and private streets, an opposition which swelled as local government grew in power. By 1864-5, after 2 major parliamentary inquiries, 163 miles of road were passed over to local authority control, and 140 toll bars were removed. As control over streets and public places moved away from the landed gentry to democratically elected local government, local authorities also began to build up the amount of land and property they owned, although the pattern of land ownership in Britain has always been and remains incredibly complex. Property estimates today show that local authorities are, after the Forestry Commission, the second biggest landlord in the country. As the 21st century corporate estates take over large parts of the city, the last decades has again seen a huge shift in land ownership, away from streets, public places and buildings in public ownership, and towards the creation of new private estates, primarily given over to shopping and office complexes, which, while not actually gated, feel very much like separate enclaves. At the same time, control of the streets is being handed back to the estates, reversing the democratic achievements of the Victorians. This is a very significant shift. Land and property, which has been in public hands for 150 years or more, is moving back into private hands. It is difficult to find out exactly how much land is being sold off, because unlike the United States and most of Europe, Britain does not have a proper record of what is owned by whom. Who controls the roads and streets is, as the Victorian protesters were well aware, enormously important to how cities function. Today there has been no public debate about the selling off of the streets at all. Instead, as ownership of British cities goes back to private landlords, the process of removing public rights of way is buried in the arcane language and technical detail of one of the most obscure parts of planning law, which is normally the province only of highways departments. To try to understand it, I went to see a planning lawyer at a top city law firm. He explained to me that the private estates are able to abolish traditional rights of way through a process known as stopping up orders. This changes the legal basis of public highways, which may have been there for centuries, making them public no longer. Bringing home to me just what a significant change this is, he told me that there is an adage in highway law which says that once a highway, always a highway. It's a common law right which goes back to the conquest. It's one of those things about being a free-born English person, he said. In many British towns and cities, this common law right is being quietly removed. Here ends the reading. Have a very good day.